to Big Blue Kickoff Live. Anita Marks and Roman Oben. We are going to be your Wednesday team.
Ooh.
Baby.
Let's do it.
What is that? How cool is this?
I love it. I love the setup. I need to get a picture of you. There's a lot of Eli and everybody, Bob.
I don't see you. I don't see me.
I had the helmet when I was the last year when the Giants still had like the Giants written on the side. That 99 season was my last season, so we got to throw in a little old school in here.
Yeah, we do.
We will make that adjustment.
So for folks just tuning in, what we've done is we've combined the morning show, which is Big Blue Kickoff Live, with the afternoon show. Several of the afternoon shows that we did. And we've made it all into one. So we're going to be with you throughout the entire NFL season. Kind of cool that you can maybe grab lunch, hang out on your computer, and join us for a little Giants and chat.
Nice hair, by the way.
Thank you.
I like it down more versus the curls.
Thank you. I got it did this. Because this was a big day for us.
All right. Big day, that means big hair day. Not big hair, but just
So I went, I got it. I got it did. And you've got a nice little you got a nice little fade going.
Yeah, a lineup. Yeah, I'm good to go.
All right, so let's break it down. We really love the audience participation in this show, as always. So we welcome you to call in. 201-939-4513 is the phone number. Roman Oben, Anita Marks with you from noon to 1 p.m. Eastern time. You're going to be on with Polly Dots.
P-Dots.
P-Dots. I like to call him Polly Dots. You're going to be on with Paul Dottino.
P-Dot.
Tomorrow. So every day from noon to 1, there will be a cast of characters here to entertain you for your lunch hour talking all things Giants. We will continue to monitor Twitter, so make sure you hit us up on Twitter. I'm going to make sure that my Twitter account is up here so I can monitor it throughout the show. Again, at Giants, hashtag Giants Chat. And we will share your tweets throughout the show. So, Roman, let's kick it off. First and foremost, a very disappointing game. The loss against the Detroit Lions, 35-14. Tom Coughlin called it a quote-unquote nightmare performance. But going into this game, the biggest concern was the offense. This new West Coast offense, Eli Manning learning it. There was some hope out there that possibly what we saw in the preseason was – obviously not good, but the Giants were maybe holding a little something back and we were going to see something a little different in the regular season. We did not. Thoughts on the offense, their performance, and what's wrong?
Well, I think you heard a lot of the times that you're not going to show your whole hand, if you will, during the preseason.
Right.
You're not going to show everything, all your whole playbook. I even saw this in practice when the practices became closed, you know, to the general public. You started seeing more intricacy in the play calling. I played in this West Coast system myself with my 2 years in Tampa. So I understand the concepts. And obviously going from that Kevin Gilbride run and shoot vertical game to this offense, which is based on concepts where all the routes happen within 20 yards from the line of scrimmage. What that's supposed to do is spread the defenses out, make offense less predictable, and then you always have to have a strong running game. And obviously when David Wilson had to retire or whatever from the end of the season because of his neck issue, what that did is give the Giants a different identity. Jennings, the big backs that we have, Andre Williams, Peyton Hillis, this identity is different now. Ben McAdoo said he likes big backs. He likes to attack the line of scrimmage. He likes to dictate things on offense. That's what was done in Green Bay's offense. We didn't see that on Monday night. You can talk about the Detroit Lions and playing on the road, and that's always a little difficult for a lot of teams. Week one, everybody's even. Everyone's kind of – you try to get through week one the best way you can, hopefully with a W. And obviously, Tom Brady, Drew Brees, Aaron Rodgers all lost on week one. The better quarterbacks in the league all lost on week one. But what we didn't see, and I borrow this from Sean O'Hara, is the West Coast offense is a label. But we didn't see the identity. And what you want is an identity, attacking the line of scrimmage. We saw a big run in the preseason against the number one Steelers defense, 73 yards by Rashard Jennings. We saw that. So you hope one of those runs would have broke, and that would have contributed significantly improved that 2.4 yards of carry that they had on Sunday. When the runs come, defenses suck up, safety suck up, then you get over the top. Then you start dinking and dunking. Then you move down the field in that rhythmic fashion. Eli Manning is not Aaron Rodgers. He's not going to scramble and run and create plays. He's not going
to
do that.
Again, that was something just for the listeners, because they didn't hear our conversation prior to us coming on. But my comment to Roman was, listen, if you watch that Monday Night Football game, you saw Aaron Rodgers running for his life. It's not like he had the best offensive line or the most protection against Seattle, but he was able to run, scramble, buy some time for himself in complete passes. Granted, to Jordy Nelson. Granted, to Randall Cobb. But I just – and it's not a knock on Eli. Just because Eli doesn't – I don't see Eli having success in that type of play, that type of skill set, doesn't make him a bad quarterback. I just still question if this system fits him.
And let's have Giants fans understand that there's different derivatives, if you will, of this West Coast offense. What Andy Reid did with incorporating the backs, he liked the smaller team. He liked a lot of screens, a lot of halfback choice options. That kind of became what you see Reggie Bush, Darren Sproles doing all that stuff. What Shanahan did in Denver, you know, we had you had Jake the Snake, you had Greasy, you had all those guys. A lot of zone runs, a lot of rollout, play-action passes. You need athletic quarterbacks. What Mariucci did, with Jeff Garcia, and Sam, I mean, it was all different derivatives of this offense. You can have an Eli Manning perform in this West Coast offense. I mean, it can happen.
With success?
With success. But with a running game, with pass protection, with no huddle. I think Eli Manning is a great no-huddle quarterback, and that is where he could, really cement his place in this West Coast offense, dictating what's going on downfield. He's a smart guy, controlling everything, calling plays to the line of scrimmage. That's still a part of the West Coast offense. So, yeah, Eli Manning is not Jeff Garcia. He's not Aaron Rodgers. He's not Jake the Snake in the 90s. He's not those guys. He's not going to run, extend plays. And definitely with this younger model of quarterbacks, RG3, he's not that guy either, obviously. But in whatever derivative Ben McAdoo chooses Eli to become, the no-huddle dictating plays, calling things at the line of scrimmage, giving him autonomy, Eli Manning can do that for sure, 100%.
He needs a better
offensive
line.
He needs an offensive line that will block.
A rushing
he needs a
attack.
Running game. He needs 4.5 yards a carry. Then you'll see the big plays. Then you'll see, I was happy to see Larry Donnell. I mean, two fade routes to Larry Donnell is not what people expected to unveil in opening day, but you start to say, okay, this guy can play. He's 6'6", 265. He can be a part of it. But the other parts of it have to come together as well.
Again, Roman Oben, Anita Marks, this is our first really big launch day for our new Big Blue Kickoff Live show. We'll be with you every day, Monday through Friday, noon to 1 for your lunch hour.
Every Wednesday.
Grab a sandwich. Well, you and I are together. Our team is every Wednesday.
This is my team. This is our team.
Yeah, this is our team.
There's a me and team.
Phone lines are open throughout. We're gonna start taking some calls, 201-939-4513. Again, stats for Eli Manning, unfortunately, 197 yards, two interceptions, completion percentage only 54.5%. Let's head out to our calls, Roman. We kick off the show with Joe in Pennsylvania. Joe, welcome to Big Blue Kickoff Live. Joe, you there? Unfortunately, we don't have Joe. Let's go to line 2. We have Mitch calling in from New Jersey. Mitch.
Hi, Anita. Hi, Robin. How are you guys doing today?
Fantastic. Excellent. Thank you. Thank you for being our first caller with our new launch show that you can watch online. Thank you.
You're welcome. Well, I happened to, my son and I made the journey to Detroit to see the game, and it was a total disaster. It was my worst nightmare. But one point that Anita made before that I'm agreeing with about the West Coast offense, I love Eli Manning. But if you look at all the quarterbacks that were successful in the West Coast offense, most of them could throw the ball on the run. Eli can't throw the ball on the run. He just doesn't have the skill set for that. I don't believe, at least at this point, the West Coast offense, or whatever version you want to make of it, fits Eli.
Well, Joe, I just went through a dissertation for about a minute and a half on which part of the West Coast offense, which is just a label. It's not about it's really about the identity. And in terms of dictating plays from the line of scrimmage, using that no huddle, using that rhythmic attack, running the ball well, I mean, that's something that Eli Manning can do. And no one's arguing here that Eli Manning runs a 4-6 and he can scramble and run and throw. And I even heard people saying that Ryan Nassib operates the West Coast offense better than Eli Manning in preseason. That's not going to happen. But as this offense begins to develop, and Joe, I played in an offense that won a Super Bowl, and we were winning games ugly, 13-10, you know, 9-whatever. We were winning games ugly, but right around Thanksgiving, 80-yard drives, running the ball, 150, 200 yards on the ground. We played our best. We had our best offensive performances, rather, excuse me, the last 5-6 weeks of the season, and into the playoffs and won a Super Bowl. And this was with smart veteran players on offense. So it can happen. But obviously, with this being regular season, Joe, if you put bad stuff on tape when this regular season starts, it's going to continue to repeat itself until you fix it. So Arizona's looking at all the mistakes the Giants made. The next two, I mean, you've got to fix it Sunday.
Now, I understand what you're saying. I also understand what the caller's saying. And he's probably saying what I've been saying leading up to regular season game one, and that is questioning whether or not this offense really suits Eli Manning. Now, you're saying Eli can play in a West Coast offense and have success, but here are the components
right.
that need to be there. Well, Roman, they're not. The offensive line is not where it needs to be to give Eli Manning the amount of protection he needs to get off a play. Regular season game one, we did not see a positive rushing attack. And then another thing we need to discuss here is Victor Cruz and Reuben Randle combined only 9 targets, 4 receptions, 25 yards. I do believe the reason that happened is because Eli's not having the time to get them the ball. We saw a lot of dink and dunk. We saw Larry getting a lot of looks and a lot of targets because Eli didn't have time to get Cruz and Randle the ball. So how I don't see this being a quick fix. I don't see this team on a short work week because they played on Monday night turning this around immediately. How long can this be fixed this season? Where's the optimism? Is there any?
Well, let's not forget, these guys are professional football players, and you have to get it done. I mean, there's no other choice. You saw a new offensive coordinator this year. You saw new coaches in the coaching staff. You saw 15 new guys signed in the offseason. 5 new offensive linemen came in that were all 27 years old, which meant they all had upside. And so the changes were made that this organization felt was what this team needed going forward. Now, if this does continue, I mean, we sat through 0-6 last year. We sat through 0-6, which I hope we don't sit through that again this year. If those changes aren't made, then there will be more changes. I mean, this is a business, and, you know, the show goes on, as they say. But, this West Coast offense, let's talk about the receivers. You need smart, sharp, football acumen guys just like you did in Gilbride's system. You're not reading routes on the run. You're not reading defensive coverages on the run, but you need a mature Reuben Randle. You need a smart Victor Cruz. Jordy Nelson, Donald Driver, Jennings, those guys didn't all run 4.38 40s. They were smart receivers, Anita. They ran the routes, and as they uncovered, that ball was there. There was confidence. The quarterback was following his feet. I mean, he was firm in the ground throwing the ball. When Aaron Rodgers gets knocked around, he doesn't do well. A lot of those West Coast offense quarterbacks get sacked a lot because of what they're doing. So let's always look at the other side of the argument. So I would like, as a person who's trying to educate the fans, not to just always talk about this West Coast offense because it's just a label. I mean, Sean O'Hara and I, it's a label. But what you want is an identity, and that identity has to start with a solid running game, a solid offensive line protection, and what quarterback doesn't want that? RG3 wants it. Romo wants it. Everyone wants that. And the quarterbacks that do get it, do well. The ones that don't get it. And those quarterbacks that are doing well no matter what you call their offense.
201-939-4513. We're going to continue with our calls. A quick question for you before we do. In watching the game film and what you saw on Monday night, was there open Victor Cruz's, was there open Reuben Randle's that they weren't just getting, or were they covered at the point of attack when Eli was getting sacked? Was he just not able to connect? Were they open and they didn't connect, or were they still covered at the time that the defensive linemen were on Eli?
I will watch the game film today, and from what I could see from the TV copy, you saw a lot of what's called now routes, just darts. Throw it to the receiver, try to make a guy miss. Reuben Randle is a bigger receiver. He's not a shifty guy that's going to – I mean, you hope to see Beckham be able to do that here pretty soon. number 12 for the Giants.
Jernigan. Okay.
Jeez, all these J words. Jernigan is a guy that can do that. So I have to see what the safeties were doing, what made the ball get distributed out a lot instead of in. I know in that cover two, the seams are wide open, what Gruden used to call the turkey hole or the honey hole, whatever you want to call it. But Eli Manning wasn't getting to that enough. I mean, and one thing Ben McAdoo, they ran the ball a lot. I mean, they were hoping for one of them to break. Okay, here comes the 50-yarder. There's a lot of things that need to be done, a lot of progress. But their offensive line has to gel sooner than later, obviously. And you hope that it doesn't result in 0-6, because that's not something that this organization is going to look at favorably.
All right, let's continue with our calls. As I said, 201-939-4513. Let's go to Joe calling in from Pennsylvania. Joe, welcome to Big Blue Kickoff Live.
Hey, great to talk to you guys. Roman, it's a pleasure to talk to you.
Hey, Joe. There's a song called Hey, Joe. I won't complete the rest of that line, but...
Okay. Hey, Roman, a couple questions. One.
Sure.
I've been hearing a lot of experts saying the Giants just don't have the talent to match up with, say, Detroit. Do you buy into that?
I don't buy into that at all. And look, the teams with the most talent, the Rams, the Raiders of the world, they have the most first and second round picks than anybody in the league. So, and if you've got a lot of Pro Bowlers on your team, then you're doing well. But look, Seattle lost 6 players in their defense. They're still blowing teams out. So it's not about the talent. It's what you do with the talent that you have. And that's a direct result on the coaching staff. This coaching staff has worked well with the scouting department. I think there's enough talent to win games. I don't disagree with that at all.
And then I got two other quick ones. The one thing that struck me was in Detroit, they have two brand-new coordinators, two guys, first-time coordinators.
Yep.
And their offense was running like an oil-oiled machine.
And a new head coach, by the way.
And a new head coach. So we have an established defensive coordinator who seems to fall into the same trap, even with a bunch of really high-profile guys in a secondary. That's kind of bothersome. And then you look at the offense, and the one play that really stuck out to me was when Eli was rolling out to his right, and he's looking for someone to throw to, and both receivers are blocking downfield, and John Gruden brought that up. You know, when you see that, you think to yourself, well, what the heck, what's going on, you know? And then the other question that I have is I wanted to ask you real quick, because I know you're an offensive guy, but, you know, you're a football player.
Right.
I was reading an article about DeMontre Moore, and he has to earn the trust because of what happened when he whiffed on Matthew Stafford, who, you know, I mean, that could have happened to any defensive lineman. I've seen that happen to Strahan in his heyday, you know. And they wanted to – it was almost like as if they were blaming him for the touchdown because he whiffed on Stafford. And I think DeMontre Moore's got a huge upside. He's got a – I mean, he really – I thought he had a pretty good, preseason. You know, why didn't we see more of him? I mean, how's a guy supposed to learn if he's going to get benched every time they perceive that he did something that he can't earn the trust of the coach? What are your feelings on that?
Well, I'm not sure exactly what happened with the defensive rotation. I know one thing, and every defense from Pee Wee High School, Anita, all the way up to the NFL, if you're flushing the quarterback to the sideline and he misses you and he comes back inside, there needs to be a defensive tackle to meet him at that particular point of contact. And I know I'm not encouraging any, you know, hitting the quarterback or guys getting fined or anything. So, where was the defensive tackle in that regard? And I think when this Giants defensive line, was at its best, when we were talking 40, 45 sacks, I mean 48 sacks in 2011, when OC overran it, Tuck was inside, somebody else was right there. I mean, that's how the D-line worked. They all four, or five, whoever's blitzing, they all hunted that position. And to go back real quickly, the other thing, it's been well known that a team that has an effective offense in a dome is very dangerous, and you don't want to play those guys when they're hot. When they get that first touchdown, that second one, the game's usually over emotionally by then. The stadium, the fans, it's something about playing inside. I mean, how many times, Anita, have we heard, God, if New Orleans gets a home field advantage, it's over.
Right.
It's hard to beat them there. If the Giants in 2011 would have had to go to New Orleans and play on the road, they might not. I mean, you hear that a lot.
Right.
I played the Rams in 99 when they were the greatest show on turf. I played teams when they were hot on the road, and it's difficult. But there were times when I think the offense could have done better and closed that gap of the score, and they just did not. That would have helped the defense and even the game. The game did settle down at some point in the middle of the second quarter. Offense couldn't capitalize on that when defense was making them punt, when they were shutting them down, keeping them out of the end zone. But again, at the end of a game, conditioning was a factor. You saw it all around the league. Guys giving up big leads, defenses getting tired, conditioning. So There's a lot of reasons. But the bottom line for me, I think, is that you have to fix all the bad stuff you put on tape sooner than later.
Well, you talk about defenses getting tired, and this is my biggest concern for the Giants defense, because I actually feel the Giants defense is one of the best in the NFL, let alone their secondary, I think, has the opportunity, the talent, to be
that was
top,
arguably the best part
three,
of the defense coming into the
top
season,
three,
the secondary.
Top five. But if this offense cannot generate substantial time of possession drives throughout the course of the game, come the third quarter and the fourth quarter, these guys are going to be – there's only so much oxygen in the world that they're going to be able to – I just – that's my biggest concern for this defense. And I don't think it's fair to sit back and say, you know, if this offense is not producing, I just hope people look at the time of possession and understand, well, this might be a defense that come the end of the third quarter and definitely the fourth quarter are going to be pretty taxed.
And let's look at this time of possession, 36 minutes and 4 seconds to 23:56. I don't remember the total plays. I got to find that. You know, 57 plays to 63. I mean, a lot of those are a lot of the passes when they were doing the no huddle. Offenses are built for 12, 15-play drives. Defenses are built for three and out, make them punt. In the fourth quarter, play with the lead. Offense got to help with the lead. And when it's 28-10 in the fourth quarter, and you're blitzing, you're dialing up, you're getting sacks. I mean, that's what defenses are built for. Defenses are not built for 60, 75 plays
right
on the field, to stay on the field, 10, 12-play drive. Defenses aren't built for that. So the best way to help this Prairie Fuel defense and to put DRC in the secondary and adopt the blitzes and the pass rush and get DeMontre Moore some sacks and get back to those 40 sacks
is have those 6-7-minute drives,
yeah,
if possible.
Yeah, and keep those guys fresh so when right. they get on the field, they're ready to hunt and they're ready to go.
Here is we're monitoring Twitter on the show, hashtag Giants Chat. Make sure you check us out. Hopefully you're following us at Giants. Anita Marks, Roman Oben with you till 1 p.m. Eastern time. We are your Wednesday crew. Every Wednesday, join us for lunch. Talk some Giants, 201-939-4513. This is from JFK Madness. Giants have severe personnel issues. Players we have are not adequate for what we want to do in the field, and I want to pose this question to you because I know there's two different trains of thought when it comes to coaches. So coaches will come in and say, okay, well, here's what I'm working with. This player is a better X receiver. This player is a better Y receiver. This quarterback plays better in the pocket as opposed to scrambling. And then develops and creates an offense that's going to accentuate the talent he already has in-house. Then there's the other philosophy where we saw McAdoo come in and say, this is the offense we're running, and I'm going to put you here, and I'm going to put you there, and Eli's going to do this. And it's not that one is right and one is wrong. It's just it's better when it all comes together and you already have the personnel to execute what you're trying to emulate and install here in New York with the Giants. But obviously that's not the case. So I'm going to have to agree with the tweet. That the personnel right now doesn't fit the system that they're trying to execute.
Look, over time, you can start to integrate guys. Okay, this guy works well in this system based on what he did in college. Like I said, there was a lot of activity in the offseason, a lot of signings, a lot of new free agents. The draft was I thought it was a good draft. I remember, you probably don't remember, about 2 years ago, you and I were discussing the route tree, right? Remember we wrote the route tree? A hitch is a hitch, a slant is a slant, a post corner is a post corner. Whether it's called 989 or I come from the old, you know, the Cameron system in San Diego, North
right.
Turner, and I know the West Coast, or whether it's called a Y seam, or whether it's called spider 2Y banana, whether it's a name, a concept, it's still the same. You can't recreate football. So Ben McAdoo didn't come in and tell him to do something totally different than they'd been doing for 11 years with Kevin Kilbride. This is what you guys did well last year. This is what I'd like you to do more of. Has Ruben Randall never ran a hitch until Ben McAdoo got here? Has Ruben Randall or has Larry Donnell never seen a side adjust? When the safety blitzes, when the safety's stacking the slot corner blitzes, you turn around right away because that's a built-in route? No, I don't agree with that at all. So you can't reinvent football. I mean, we talk about the spread, right? The spread. Everyone runs a spread in college. The spread was really done so that you could spread teams out and run the ball. It wasn't developed where it went so you could, get the ball dink and dunk.
Pass happy.
Yeah, and this is just an offensive discussion in general. when Florida, with Tim Tebow at their peak in 2008, when they won the national championship, they were putting 230 yards a game on the ground. On the ground. It wasn't about spreading the ball and then having these kids do all – so, you know, and I would hope, and I assume, you know, Giants fans or football fans in general are smarter than that. Stop saying we don't have the talent to run, because most of the talent is spread out around the league. Most of the bad teams have all the first and second round picks in college. So the talent in that locker room is good enough to get it done. They just have to – everyone just has to execute. So execution for me is the bottom line. And you took away the physicalities with the collective bargaining agreement, obviously. You took away some of the things you could do to develop kids in the offseason. College gets 22 weeks of an offseason. NFL gets 9. Fine. But Seattle, there's other teams that are still being physical. There's other teams that got brand-new head coaches that are still marching down the field scoring football, scoring drives. I mean, there's still people that are being effective that are executing. And I know if you're a fan of a team, you always look at that team. And I grew up in Washington, D.C., as you know. I was a big Redskins fan as a kid. And it was the Hogs. That's the way. That's the benchmark. But when everyone started pulling the guard and tackle, that just became a part of football. So no one's recreated football here. But, again, a slant is a slant, whether you call it a slant or call it something else.
No, I understand that.
But it's not about the talent isn't able to run this offense, because that is from a football standpoint, that is absolutely false. And you, Anita, you know all these coaches. You walk by any coach downfield, it's like, we're not reinventing football here. We're just implementing the play.
I understand.
Sorry for the rant.
I understand that. But, I hold that more realistically for Eli Manning than probably for anyone else on this team. Just me. 201-939-4513.
That's as honest as you can be. We have to be honest with
the fans. I think that there's a better system that can be created for Eli Manning. That's where I stand in all this. 201-939-4513. Quick note. It's a late day here at the Giants facility. 3:55 practice starts. 5:30 players will be made available to the media. 6:15 will be the Tom Coughlin press conference, and you're going to be doing that live on MSG with Paul later
with
on.
With P Dots, yes, okay. Ma'am.
So you can watch that here on Giants.com or on the MSG network. That is the schedule for today. Let's continue with our calls. We go to we're going to go to Michael, line two. Michael in New Jersey. Michael, welcome to Big Blue Kickoff Live.
Hi, Anita.
Hi.
Hi, Roman. How you doing?
Excellent.
All right. Listen, you know, in my world, we looking at Eli Manning, and I'm really questioning his hunger for the game. You know, he achieved the highest accolades in this sport. He got 2 Super Bowl rings, 2 MVPs. You know, I just wonder, from my perspective, is he kind of bored?
I hope he's not bored. I mean,
and with the hand signal, I'm sorry, Roman, I'm sorry.
No, I interjected. Go ahead.
Oh, you know, and with the hand signals, you know, I'm like, call a play already. It's like they trying to make Eli do something. He not really. It's so obvious on the screen. And I swear, what's his name? Danelle, he the only one out of the receiving corps that came to play that night, you know, to me. And I'll take your answers over the phone. Thank you.
Thank you for the phone call.
Yeah, I think there's a saying that if you know when you get out of bed on Monday morning that you don't want to play football anymore. That I mean, you've had a lot. I played 12 years in the NFL, and sometimes your body tells you, sometimes the fact that you're not suiting up that week or you're inactive, maybe that tells you. At the quarterback position, I mean, you hear guys like Tom Brady and Peyton Manning obviously saying, look, when I'm not effective, I'm not able to help this team win, that's when I'll know. That's when I know that I'll be done. We saw it with Brett Favre. He kept retiring, coming back. I don't think you're going to see that with Eli Manning. I think Eli Manning is still able to be a good quarterback in this league. To go back to your statement about the system, Anita, the only system Eli Manning hasn't run is the L.A. Rams, Dallas Cowboys of the 90s, Norv Turner, Ravens. I mean, he hasn't run that system, but what is that? Running the ball using a true fullback or true tight end and going downfield. I mean, and what do you need for that offense to work? A solid running game, a good offensive line, And, you know, with the hand signals, obviously that's always a part of football. And actually, it's good that you brought that up because that's something Eli Manning does well. He can control the line of scrimmage. He can run a no huddle. But everything else has to come in place. The quarterback and receiver relationship
is critical. What did you think about these hand signals and stuff that he was doing this, like start a fire? Like, what was that?
I don't know if he's rolling meatballs or starting a fire. I don't. Hey, whatever it works. If it ends up being 7 points, you can do whatever you want. You can do this if he wants to. You can do the robot. I mean, whatever he wants to do before the snap.
I mean, have you seen that before?
I know the old system. I know, like, this was smoke, which is a hitch. I knew what that was. I mean, out and up. But then when defenses start reading it, you have to change them every week. And then sometimes as a young player, you got to get those changes.
Right.
And then you got fake signals.
You got to
Smoke will be in hitch, but then it'll be like hitch and go.
Sign language.
Yeah, so it's there's no book that's ever going to come out about what these mean because they mean something totally different.
This for, is learn
for
sign language.
Everybody, yeah.
Learn.
And
I took sign language in college as my foreign language.
How do you say Roman? Or how do you say the Giants in sign language? Do you say like...
It's a great question.
How about this? That should mean the Giants.
I've been out of college a long time.
We need this to represent the Giants.
So this is learn sign language, and this is microwave. It's my favorite.
Wow, that's the microwave.
Do
that again.
Box and
boom.
That's microwave. All right.
We need the officials during the game to do a sign language when the offense goes in, which means that. That's the sign language we need.
Let's continue with our calls. Again, 201-939-4513. Let's go to Charles calling in from North Carolina. He's listening on the app, which unfortunately means he's not watching us on Giants.com. This is our first day that we've combined Big Blue Kickoff Live with, of course, our afternoon shows. Every day, Monday through Friday, noon to 1, you'll be able to listen and watch. So if you haven't been online yet, check it out. John Schmelk put together this really cool set with all this Giants garb that we're broadcasting in front of. So check it out. But welcome to the show.
Thank you. I am able to watch. I'm on the app on my iPad, but I am looking at you guys right now, so I'm not sure. I am looking and listening to you, so good deal. I think I'm looking at this team, and let me use Seattle Seahawks as an example. There's no way that their GM is hitting on every player that starts for them or that's in their rotation. That's coaching. There's no way that Michael Smith, fifth rounder, Sherman, late round pick, all these guys that's on this team and on that rotation, on that defense, and on that offense. There's no way that GM is picking, hitting home runs on every time he picks a player at the draft or picks a player in free agency. There's no way. So what is it? Why do they have so much success? Why can they plug and play a guy in and have success? Why can they let people go like a Walter Thurman and replace him with another guy and that guy steps up and has success? Why are they so physical? Why do they have so much success? I think it comes down to coaching. You know, I kind of agree with both of y'all when, you know, Anita said that maybe it's a scheme. And then I think Roman said, well, we have the personnel. I do agree that I think we do have the talent on the team. I just feel like again, if we look at Seattle, there's no way you're going to tell me that GM hit on everybody that starts for that team and hit a home run on every pick he got. You know, there's no way. Those guys have been coached up. They're ready to play. They move as one unit. For me, it's all about coaching. And I, you know, I don't know if it's if it's Tom Coughlin. I don't know if it's the coordinators. I don't know what it is. But Pete Carroll over there, he has that team humming, man. It don't matter who they put in or who they bring in. That team is successful. Players are successful, and they have a winning formula for success. What do you guys think about that?
I agree 100%, and I think I would just add to the fact that, I don't like to pub people's books. I've never written a book, but Jim Collins has a book called Good to Great. I read a lot of business books, and he talks about, in that book, creating a culture of discipline. Like the Marines, for example, they don't just get guys off the street and make them Marines. They find guys that have certain characteristics, and then they teach them the Marines principles. And when you have coaches like
Pete Carroll,
or even Bill Belichick, for whoever, that always find a way to win. Always find a way to maximize. And I would say Tom Coughlin as well, to a certain degree. You have guys, as soon as they walk into the building, there's a Seahawks way of doing things, Giants way of doing. I mean, any successful, anywhere that anything that involves people, there's a specific way things have to be done. And everybody's on the same page. I don't care if you're the janitor, if it's the lady who answers the phone at the front desk, the general manager, the cooking staff. Everybody that walks in that building is on the same page, and that's why certain teams win. And I mentioned the fact that in this CBA world where, you know, all these coaches complain, the not Giants coaches, but people in general, they took away the padded practice, we can't develop guys. Seattle's hitting people, right? Ravens hit, Steelers, they're still knocking people out defensively, not in a negative way, but just they're still being physical. The teams that are still running the ball, they're only in pads once a week. So why can't everybody do it? But it's because whatever the rules are, whatever the hitting rules are, whatever the pass interference rules are, people find a way to adjust. But most importantly, people find a way to just buy in and be on the same page. And football is football. There is criticism. When it's bad, it sucks. It's horrible. When it's good, it's great. It's excellent. And again, 0-1, you know, you're not going to get the benefit of the doubt when you started 0-6 last year. And that's what Giants fans are trying to convey. But when you buy in, everything works well, then everything's great. And right now, what these fans have seen in preseason, what you've seen in terms of the running game, what you've seen in terms of what you thought you would have had with the identity of a David Wilson and a Odell Beckham, I mean, what would that add to this offense? I mean, let's be honest about that. In terms of what they were supposed to be able to do at this point, that we haven't seen that. We just haven't seen it. But it's you go with the 11 guys in the huddle that all got to buy into whatever the system is, whatever works, make it work. You heard the story about Joe Montana, 30 years ago, and hey, Joe, what do you think about this play? Oh, it's great. Oh, what about this play, Bill Walsh? Oh, that'll work too. Well, what do you like? Whatever you call, we'll make it work. Right? How about that, guys? Players? I'm a player. Make it work. If it's Larry Donnell, if it's Martellus Bennett, name the last 5-6 tight ends that have all done well in this offense because the quarterback was the same. Because the O-line bought in. So honestly, Anita, Nicole, you got to buy in. You just have to buy in.
201-939-4513. The phone number you're listening to Big Blue Kickoff Live. Anita Marks, Roman Oben with you till 1 p.m. Eastern time today. Now's your time to get in. Also, all things social media, hit us up on Giants, hashtag Giants Chat. I'm monitoring Twitter as we do the show. Again, Tom Coughlin, quote from him, a nightmare performance, game one against Detroit. They lose 35-14. Victor Cruz comes out, says he wants the ball more. Antrel Roll came out, said that he wants more fight in this dog. And John Beeson came out and said he wants more fun. As the Giants get ready on a short work week because they played Monday to get ready for the Arizona Cardinals coming to MetLife Stadium Sunday 1 p.m. Bruce Arians' system. He's got Carson Palmer, who's playing the best ball I've seen Carson Palmer play in quite a while. Larry Fitzgerald, his number one wide receiver, not putting up number one numbers right now, but he has a wide receiver by the name of Michael Floyd, who's absolutely tremendous. A rookie by the name of John Brown, so a solid wide receiving core who's coming here to MetLife. And then Andre Ellington, there was some talk about him possibly being out 4 to 6 weeks because of a foot injury. He right. played last week against San Diego, as well as Jonathan Dwyer. So it's a 1-2 punch in the backfield. In their defense, Roman, held the San Diego Chargers backfield. And keep in mind, they have a three-headed monster back there. It's Ryan Matthews, Donald Brown made his way over there from the Colts,
mm-hmm.
Danny Woodhead, sorry. And Arizona held them to 2.2 yards per carry. So offensively, it's going to be a challenge for this defense. And defensively, it's going to be a challenge as well because this Arizona defense, they're not half bad.
Yeah, so, and without Darnell Dockett, right? Without, yes. I mean, and I know Bruce Arians. He was an offense coordinator with me when I was in Cleveland. Todd Bowles was a secondary
guys
coach.
Guys love playing for him.
I know, I they do. Heard, I love Bruce Arians as a developer.
I haven't heard one negative thing.
I mean, the irony that he was removed, he left Pittsburgh because and you hear rumors about the relationship between Bruce Arians and Ben Roethlisberger was almost like dangerous. It was like those two and that was it, and then they had their own deal. And maybe that disrupted the coaching structure with Mike Tomlin. I'm not sure. But Todd Bowles is secondary coach when my 2 years in Cleveland, and I know that philosophy. I mean, they want to attack, they want to dictate, and they want to force you to throw the ball, and they want to make you make mistakes. And this is a team that is pissed off that they were 10-6 last year and didn't go to the playoffs.
And they don't get a lot of respect
and
in
they
division.
Don't get it routed in that division. Exactly.
It's all about Seattle and San Francisco. Let's continue with our calls. 201-939-4513. We go to Oliver calling in from Virginia. Oliver, welcome to the program.
Hey, guys. How y'all doing today?
Great. Excellent.
Hey, listen, I don't understand why people are so hard on Eli, okay? Even at the basic level, you know, they teach you to pay attention to the quarterbacks, okay? You got guys, wide receivers, tight ends, everybody not paying attention, you know? Not only that, I think, you know, the new system, they're trying to reinvent the wheel, you know? His mechanics changed, you know, the timing is off. That's not something that Eli's done on his own, you know, and he's getting the short end of the stick. I don't feel like, you know, they should be beating up Eli the way that they're beating him up. I feel like collectively they lost as a team. People running into each other, bad technique tackling, missed tackles. I mean, that's something. Eli didn't do that. You understand what I'm saying? So I don't understand why. I truly don't understand why. Why Eli's getting bashed the way that he's being bashed.
I don't think this is and thank you for your call. I don't think this is an Eli thing. And you've heard quarterbacks say this before in the NFL. Look, when a team is losing, quarterback gets all the blame. When a team is winning, quarterback gets all the praise. I don't think it's a Giants thing. I don't think it's an Eli thing. I just think it's a thing.
Right.
And that's the perception. I mean, the quarterback is the field general. The quarterback is typically your leader. And I mean, right, wrong, fair, unfair. I just think that's the way we, as a sports society, points the finger.
Yeah, I mean, and if you look at the pecking order of a football organization, it's the owner, the head coach, the general manager, offensive coordinator, defensive coordinator, and the quarterback. I mean, and you talk about the totem pole. I mean, those first four you named are pretty at the top. But right after offensive coordinator, defensive coordinator, head coach, it's the quarterback. And obviously, Eli Manning, you know, at every press conference, he takes full responsibility for anything that goes wrong. I mean, he did it a lot last year. Did it 9 times last year.
Did it on
Monday night. And when things go well, he said, well, he's glad things go well. Things worked out. You know, we still got to improve in certain areas. I mean, that's who he is. And in being the flat, emotional guy that he is has really enabled Eli Manning to excel in this market. And that's good for him. But again, when it's bad, it's horrible. When it's good, it's great, and they're on top.
Let's continue with our calls. We go to Washington, D.C., your hometown.
My hometown.
Steve, joining us here on Big Blue Kickoff Live.
Hello,
Steve,
guys.
Welcome.
Thanks for taking my call. Roman, it's a pleasure to speak to you. I've been trying to get one of you guys to come on BBK for a while, so I'm very excited to have you here hosting with Anita.
Thank you.
And listen, Roman, I have a couple of questions. Well, first of all, I do agree with the caller a couple of calls ago. You know, clearly we've gotten out-coached. And, you know, I hear a lot of people always wanting to criticize our GM, which I kind of think is personal because I've never come into the season since Jerry Reese has been here and think we haven't had a chance. So, sure, I think we have the talent. But I'm very displeased with what I see with the offensive line. I thought Pugh had a bad game, and obviously Beatty had a bad game. It's easier for me to grade because they're involved in the play every time, but I think we all had high expectations for the defense, so that's really what I wanted to talk about. I'm going to take this call. I'll listen off the air. And I wanted you to kind of give me your opinion on, you know, I thought Jaquan Williams had a terrible game, and I'm definitely not a Walter Thurman fan at all. I see him avoiding tackles, and I don't know. I don't understand why no one else is seeing it. So I just wanted to see if you could give me your synopsis on how you think these two guys played. Do you think we'll see the Rick Kennard sharing some time in the linebacker position with Kennard, perhaps moving forward? So thanks for taking my call. I'm going to listen off air. And, again, great show. Appreciate the call.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Steve. And, you know, I was one of the ones that was disappointed in in terms of his opening day, you know, what I saw from the secondary, guys running into each other, Dominique Rodgers-Cromartie passing off receivers to air. You don't give the best receiver, arguably, in the last half a decade.
Well, did you hear what Golden Tate said? Golden Tate said that there was like no double or triple coverage on Calvin Johnson. Like what?
Yeah, I'm an offensive person, but just from looking at the defensive game plan, I think the most consistent guy was Prince Amukamara. I mean, he's been solid. He's been growing and growing, and I would have assumed, and this can still happen, that when you sign DRC, put him on the other side, that Prince is going to get a lot of looks this year, a lot of interceptions, because DRC is more of a shutdown guy, if you will. Antrell Roll is now playing that center field.
To man him up against Calvin Johnson. Like, who just puts one guy on Calvin Johnson?
He's been triple covered and still caught the ball. I mean, still caught it. But again, and my thing was, Calvin Johnson's going to get his numbers. He's going to get 9 catches for 100 yards, whatever. But you don't want him to kill you in the red zone, and you don't want to give up big plays to Calvin Johnson, because what that does emotionally to a team is it elevates the whole team, where our fastball is better than your fastball, and you know it's coming, and you still can't stop it. I mean, that's when you have a guy like Calvin Johnson on your team. I blocked for LaDainian Tomlinson in San Diego, and when you know the run's coming, and we still run and still get 50-yard touchdown, that demoralizes a defense and it lifts up an offense, and that's what it does. That's what it did to the Giants defensively. And to go with the Jaquan Williams, again, I haven't seen the game footage. I think he didn't have his best game, but in preseason he looked the best that he's done in his 4 years. You're saying now he's ready to make that jump,
right?
And again, it is week one. And I think at this point you have to give them the benefit of the doubt that they can get this thing fixed defensively. Because going into the season, Steve, this Giants secondary was the thing you were just excited about. Stevie Brown's back. You got DRC. Prince is a rising corner in this league. Antrell Rose back playing safety. Jaquan Williams is going to finally, I mean, all those years of Jesse Armstead mentoring him and on the sideline, it's finally going to happen. Beeson's back. You got McClain with this Baltimore Ravens mentality coming in. It's going to be awesome. We need 40 sacks from. You can get 12 from JPP, 8 from DeMontre Moore. Kiwi will give you 6. You know, I mean, week one didn't happen. Let's reload and let's hope that these guys can come back. Because they have to.
One huge positive, because I feel like we're sitting here and I do get criticized for being a negative Nelly on this show often.
we have to be optimistic.
Well, that is that Reggie Bush and Joik Bell only averaged 2.5 yards per carry. So Cullen Jenkins, thank you very much. And again, I'm unfortunately doing other stuff while the Giants are playing, so I can't watch the game like I used to. But you know, Reggie Bush is a threat around the outside and utilizing the passing game. Speed wise. In my opinion, the only person on the Giants team that can match him is Jaquan Williams. So I want to, again, I haven't watched the game so in depth, but I want to assume that he was a part of really helping this front four keep this rushing attack down to 2.5 yards per carry. Quick note on JPP as well. He is expected to practice today, dealing with the neck issue that we saw him kind of go down in the game, but then he came back in. So fingers crossed, practice, as I said, 3:55, right? Yeah, 3:55 is practice today. So
practice?
Yeah, that's what we talk about.
Talking about practice?
We talk about practice. Not a game. Not a game.
Yeah. Hey, my thing with the stats, Anita, too, it's all right, Reggie Bush 2.5, so what, right? Megatron had a big day. You got Ebron, you got Tate. I mean, they have – every team has 4 or 5 guys that are complimentary. If somebody doesn't have a big game, someone else will. And right. I mean, and I know and I think you fell in love with that one game Jaquan Williams had where he had to shadow Michael Vick as a rookie. And,
well, I didn't. Michael Vick said – Michael Vick even sought Jaquan Williams out after the game and said, I need to meet you.
Yeah. Well, you know, one thing Michael Vick, I guess, forgot was that when in 2001 – I played against Michael Vick at his peak when I was in Tampa – when he was in Atlanta, you had a lot less Jaquan Williamses out there. You had a lot less 4 or 5.
They were all on Dallas with Jimmy Johnson. Yeah. He was the only one who was drafted.
Yeah, but now,
those guys.
Hey, you've got defensive ends. You've got, I mean, because of all the quarterbacks, not all of them are like Michael Vick, but you have a lot more quarterbacks that are faster, that run better 40 times. You have faster linebackers. You have undersized guys like Jaquan Williams. back then, it was only Tampa's defense and a few others. Everyone else had these slug middle linebackers and a big, strong Sam linebacker, and a Will linebacker was a lot more athletic. But again, we analyze and we move on, and we hope that and look, this team is getting ready for the Arizona Cardinals. So that 24-hour period that players have to go through, that you forget about a game and you move on, that has happened. But again, we still are talking about we expect a lot of big things. We as Giants fans, whoever, they expect a lot of big things from Jaquan Williams this year. He is a guy that has to play well.
We have about 10 minutes left in the show. Anita Marks and Roman Oben with you today. Let's try to take as many calls as we can before we do sign off. We go to JD calling in from North Carolina. JD, what you got for us?
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call.
JD.
Just kind of wanted to weigh in on Eli and the offense a little bit. I was able to rewatch the game last night. And I think Eli's taking a little too much heat. For the issues that they were having Monday night, a lot of the plays, Will Beatty was getting just blown by, and he was really not giving Eli any blindside protection. And as far as Victor Cruz, coming out and saying he'd like to get some more targets, he dropped a lot of passes Monday night. Eli put the ball right in his hands, and he was open. It was some pretty deep pass. I think a couple of them were 20-yard pluses, and he just dropped the ball. That's not on Eli. I think, Jernigan had a couple of drops. Randall had a couple of drops. For the most part, when they were giving Eli time, not a lot of it, but when they were giving him some sort of time, he was hitting these guys, and they were just dropping the ball. As far as the offensive game plan, I did have a question. I did not see Henry Hynoski out there at all.
I did.
I was a little curious.
Yeah, they threw fade routes to the corner of the end zone. They tried three. First one was the Corey Washington. Second one was the Donnell. And then third one was the Donnell. And they finally so Hynoski came in as a decoy. So they sucked the linebackers in so they can throw those fades in the end zone on the goal line.
And that was pretty much it. And aside from that, I think the rest of the day when they were trying to run the ball, they were pretty much using Larry Donnell, they bring him in to the backfield, maybe in a full house or pistol setup, and they were kind of having to use him as the fullback. So I think as far as the running game goes, I don't think that was really a good representation of what they're going to be able to do going forward in the season.
Yeah, JD, thank you. That's very honest of him to say that, because I agree 100%. I think my criticisms were bigger, longer tight ends, those 6'6", 260-pound guys, that they're not good in-line blockers. It's hard to take a guy. I'd say this to Brett Pascoe. Get off the line, get to the backfield, and I have to go through the B-gap and sort through and get a linebacker. It's better for a shorter, squattier, stockier guys to do that than the longer guys, because it's – you stand up, you shrink back down, and you get through. It's – but, again, I think the JD's point, to help Eli Manning, Cruz can't have drops. Reuben Randall and Donnell can't miss side adjust. Beatty and Pugh have to set the pocket. Everyone has to do their job, because you have a quarterback that will get the ball to you. You have a running back that's going to run harder. I block for Mike Allstott in Tampa, and we used to call him 40-ounce, like a 40-ounce malt liquor or whatever have you. When you knew he was getting the ball, you wanted to stick your helmet in a guy and put your hands aside and run your feet and strength, because you knew how much effort he was going to give. When I see Andre Williams running the ball, hitting the hole, when I see Jennings and what he's capable of doing, as an offensive lineman at heart, that makes me want to just do the best I can to make sure there's no penetration, because I know this guy gets to the line of scrimmage, gets past, he's going to at least get 4 yards and he might break one. And that's why everyone has to help. This offense has to, any offense really works like a piano. It has to work in concert. So thanks again, JD. Hope I didn't cut you off at the end.
He was mentioning the running game, the rushing attack, having to, having I guess, optimism and expecting more than what we saw in week one. But week two, how difficult do you think that's going to be? As I said, you've got Arizona only give it 2.2 yards per carry to San Diego. They've got a better line than the New York Football Giants, and they've got a three-headed monster back there. They can rush it with Ryan Matthews. They've got a more elusive kind of back they use in the passing game with Danny Woodhead. They bring in Donald Brown, who actually was quite impressive with the Colts last year. They went with Donald Brown over Trent Richardson on a number of occasions. So, I mean, what is your feeling? How optimistic are you that the Giants will get their rushing attack straight in week two against Arizona?
You can talk about the stats all you want and not being negative. I mean, week one is week one. The stats are what they are. The Giants are currently in the NFL averaging 2.4 yards a carry, right? It's week one. A 50-yard touchdown eliminates that, right? A 30-yard gain eliminates that. So I think, and this is something we discussed a little bit before the show, you're playing a West Coast team that played on Monday night just like you did, a little bit later than you played, coming across the country.
A lot later.
coming across, but their biological clock was only like 7 o'clock versus, you know, ours, you know, Giants were 7. They were 7-2 because they played on the West Coast. Now they've got to get up at the equivalent of 5 in the morning, 6 in the morning, what have you, have pregame meal, and play physically at 10 o'clock in the morning. The best way to deal with those teams, you've got to start fast.
Yep.
You've got to make it 14-0 like Detroit did to you in your place. You've got to make it 10. You've got to score first. You've got to make sure when they decide to wake up in the middle of the third quarter that you've got a 10-point lead. Now the defense is calling the blitzes, calling the dogs, and then you're playing a one-dimensional football game. I think that's how you beat the Arizona Cardinals.
Let's continue with our calls. We go to Ben in Virginia. Ben, welcome to the program.
Hey, good afternoon, guys. How you both doing?
Okay.
Hey, Ben.
Hey, you know, everybody's blaming Eli. Everybody's blaming the offensive line. To me, just as I see this, and right now even got the game on now, the Giants really don't have a whole lot of playmakers on offense. You know, Roman, you just talked about the Lions and rattled off all the guys that they have, Reggie Bush, Calvin Johnson, Golden Tate, Eric Ebron. Who makes defensive coordinators stay up late on the Giants' offense? I mean, Victor Cruz? But other than that, who else? Not Ruben Randle. 2 catches for 1 yard. You know, I really like Gerard Jerning. I really had wanted the Giants to draft Gerard Jerning, but he turned out to be just a guy. You know what I mean? I really don't see, without, you know, the retirement of David Wilson, Odell Beckham still being injured, I just don't see playmakers on this offense. You know, I like Rashad Jennings. I think he's a good back, but he's not that explosive, hold your breath every time he grabs the ball back. You know what I mean?
Well, I think that's the fantasy football in you speaking there. I mean, I don't think there's one team in the league that
and
has.
And what's wrong with that?
I don't think there's one team in the league that has 3-4 guys on offense that are leading the league in their categories and that are making you lose sleep at night. I mean, I think there are a lot of teams. You could probably help me with this, Anita. I mean, there are a lot of teams offensively that work well as a collective unit. I mean, this Giants teams have worked well as a collective unit. And if you have an all-star back, tight end, then you have a cap problem. So it's not always about, yeah.
Victor Cruz is
a marquee guy.
San Francisco probably keeps defensive coordinators up at night. You've got to worry about Michael Crabtree. They add Stevie Johnson. They've got arguably one of the best tight ends in the league in Vernon Davis. You got Frank Gore back there. They went out, they drafted Carlos Hyde. San Francisco's offense is probably the one that really scares folks, in my opinion.
All right, and then, well, but if they don't execute, it doesn't matter who they have on offense. I mean, they have to execute.
Right.
And that's the issue. You have to execute.
All right. About 2 minutes left in the show. I do want to get your thoughts on this because your former offensive lineman, we really didn't spend a lot of time talking about the offensive line. But Giants fans out there, in regard to tweets being sent to me, Incognito is still out there and available. Eric Winston is out there, and you're making faces, and available. I mean... What would be the best course of action right now? Would it be move forward with what we have and hope that the offensive line play is going to get better and, of course, Jeff Schwartz getting healthy and joining this team in Week 8? Or do you think it's worth looking and seeing what talent is out there and bringing somebody in? How difficult would it be for them to gel and pick up this system and really produce?
I don't know what Weston, what Richburg graded. I don't know what John Jerry graded in the film. I don't know what J.D. Walton graded. I don't know the grades of the line, but you just can't go see what's out there bringing a guy on a Tuesday and can fix the issue. And obviously, you know, I don't know if this is an organization that would go get a Rich Incognito because he's available and you can come in and help this team. I don't know the answer to that question, but I know that instead of hoping, let's talk about expectations. I mean, there has to be an expectation that the guys that are supposed to get the job done have to get the job done. Because as a professional athlete, you know when you're not making your blocks. You know when you've been giving up sacks or giving up tackles or having mental errors. And you know that in March, when your bonuses due, they will cut you if you don't perform. And that's in terms of personal pride, as a lineman. I've always said this. I'll say this quickly. We all have to balance with a healthy unbalance of not wanting to let the teammates down, the guy next to you, and just wanting to be the best at your position. I mean, and if you don't have that, you won't last long in this team or any other team.
Well, Roman, blessed to be working with you.
Same
and,
here. My pleasure.
And excited that we're going to be the Wednesday team. Here on Giants.com, Big Blue Kickoff. Yeah, all right. So Roman and I will be with you every lunch hour on Wednesdays from noon to 1 right here on Giants.com. You'll be able to watch live online. Tomorrow, Roman will be back with Paul Dottino, same time, high noon, right here on Giants.com. Again, practice 3:55, players made available after practice, as well as Tom Coughlin. Tune in to that Tom Coughlin press conference on Giants.com, as well as on MSG with Roman and Paul later on this afternoon. Have a great day, everybody.
Well, here we go, here we go. Here we go. Come on, man. We need the work. Let's go.